So as we've mentioned all morning long, Egyptians are voting at a particularly important time in the evolution of the Arab pro-democracy movement, too. The faith in caretaker authorities in Egypt since the ousting of Hosni Mubarak has been on the way down for months. And then last weekend, people headed into the streets of Cairo by the thousands one more time. In the ensuing crackdowns, over 40 people were killed and more than 1,000 were injured. Here is the sound of a proud, but listen to the voice, tentative voter this morning.
Most of us thought that it would be better if we could postpone for a couple of weeks till police forces get their act together. I have never voted before in my life, but this time I thought it is essential that we all come to vote for our best interests.
So what do voters have on their mind this morning? Do voters have stability or protest voting as they head to the polls to elect a parliamentary body that will write the new Egyptian constitution? Presidential elections are some months off. Shibli Tilhami joins us now. He's perhaps one of the best sources on the state of Arab public opinion insofar as it is even measurable in moments like these. He's, of course, the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. Professor Tilhami is also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning to you.
So as you observe what's going on in Egypt this morning, you know, some have said that as time goes on, people are going to want to vote for stability, in a sense, to get protesters off the streets as much as to keep the protest movement going.
Well, this is really interesting. That has been the theory. And I think we've seen a little bit of it because actually, you know, a couple months ago, you could see that a lot of Egyptians were tired. They wanted things to go back to normal. The economy isn't good. There is a little bit of that. But this empowerment that we have in the Arab world, particularly in Egypt, is really with us to stay. I think people just want their voices heard, and this seems to trump everything else. And it is, in some ways, a surprise that in the poll that I conducted in Egypt just the end of October, we found that more people think the military is working against the revolution than working for the revolution. And so that clearly was is an indication of something far deeper that's going on. In some ways, this election is fortunate for the military because it happens so close to the events in Tahrir Square that the public is of two minds on the elections.
And indeed, the military being an important conservative yet secular force in Egypt, the conservative Islamist force is the Ikhwan Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood. And they, for quite a while, were campaigning, but quietly campaigning as the lead up to this election took place. And we were told last week that some people viewed the Muslim Brothers as being opportunists in the way that they campaigned and the strategy here. How do you think people are going to the polls thinking about the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, I think it's no question the liberals particularly thought they were opportunists from the beginning, because what had emerged really over the past few months is that there was a tacit package deal between the Brotherhood and the military. It's not that they like each other or that they think they want to support each other. It is that they both are interested in some elements of the status quo, some elements of stability. Both, in a way, see the liberals particularly as the bigger threat. And the Brotherhood clearly was interested in seeing the elections take place and was prepared to, in some ways, not go to the streets, even when others were calling for it, and giving the military space. And the military was prepared to allow them to operate as long as they didn't rock the boat too much, particularly on foreign policy. So it is clear that they had an interest in going to the elections. They may have overplayed their hands by not going to the streets early on last week. I don't think it's going to have much of an impact, because in the end, it's going to be about organization, who gets to vote, and their best prepared for that.
Well, we're speaking with Shibli Tilhami, Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Shibli, how important is the outcome in Egypt to the rest of the Arab Spring countries, to the other countries that have looked to both Egypt and Tunisia as an inspiration? Is it of vital importance that Egypt come away with a democracy that's free and clear?
Oh, no question. I think Egypt... the Arabs are hungry for a model, and for now they've embraced the Turkish model. One of the things that we've seen in the election, in the poll that I conducted a few weeks ago, is that, you know, Turkey clearly has emerged as the Arab model in some ways, and even for Egypt. Egyptians want Egypt to look more like Turkey than any other country. That is a reluctant model because Arabs typically are Arab-centric. Egypt has been that country that they've aspired to emulate. And, you know, it's not a coincidence that right after the events started in Egypt, they started everywhere else in the Arab world. It's clearly Tunisia mattered, but Egypt is the big, big game. And I think everybody's watching because I think what happens there is going to matter for almost every other country.
No, and Turkey is a reluctant model. So is Pakistan. So is, of course, Iran, for the very reasons that you cite there, Shibli Tahami. Before we go, U.S. influence in this election. We saw the leadership change in Yemen. That's widely perceived to be a U.S. brokered. Any sense that the U.S. is behind the scenes here?
No, I think, you know, by and large, people are reluctant to see any foreign interventions. And in some ways, they're of two minds. Some want intervention. But I think the game in the minds of most is really a local game. And when we ask people, you know, you think the events are really local, people trying to see to seeking freedom, or is it foreign intervention? There are very few people say it's foreign intervention.
Shibli Tahami, Anwar Sadat, professor for peace and development at the University of Maryland. He's also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We want to leave you with the sound of the people actually voting in Egypt today. They're a little bit nervous, lots of trepidation for a lot of reasons. Here's the BBC's Hugh Sykes in Cairo speaking with a voter who wouldn't give his real name. Hugh asked him why he's voting.
You know something? I'm not afraid of the military council. I'm not afraid of state security. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm just afraid of my parents to know that I've been blogging since 2004, that I've been to Tahrir many times, and I've been into several fights, and they would freak out.
But you're a grown man. How old are you?
I'm 32. But Egypt, it's the only country where youth are not afraid to die, yet they are afraid to tell their parents they're going to Tahrir.
When we met in 2005, you said democracy is like a medicine which, if you take it all at once, makes you sick.
I still believe that. I think it will make us sick in the short run. Whenever people tell me I'm very scared, I'm very scared of the Brotherhood, I'm very scared of the Salafis.
The Salafis are the fundamentalist Muslims.
I'd rather call them our fascists. Yeah. I always reply, in the short run, it will be very difficult. Yet I am very optimistic in the long run.
Fascinating. The voice there of a 32-year-old in Cairo waiting to vote, who spoke with our partner, the BBC's Hugh Sykes, on the ground with a number of media sources, all keeping us updated on the voting in Cairo and around Egypt, where the voter turnout has been huge. Stay with us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.